How's everybody doing today? Oh man, what a blessing to be here with you guys and to get to share with you what's on my heart. Do any of you guys watch Joel Osteen?
Yes!
All right. Well, hey, then stand up for a minute, grab your Bible. Let's do what he does when he starts out his services. He says, "This is my Bible. I have what it says I have.
Oh,
I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen." Well, you all sound great as usual. Oh. Oh, well, I just want to make a couple comments real quick about a couple different topics. One is, Andy just finished a wonderful sermon series about the blessing of God. And I don't know if you guys got to hear all of those, but if you didn't, you really ought to go back and listen to them. Because I just feel like we just need to get this down in our heart. And it's an easy thing to not get. I feel like the first step in living under the blessing of God is just getting a picture of how much God loves us. And one thing I thought was really interesting was when God created man in Genesis 1:27, the first thing God does after creating man is bless him. And it's just all throughout Scripture that God wants us blessed. But then we also got to think of it from the standpoint of there's a part that we play in living in this blessing. And in the simplest terms, I'd say it is God supplies the harvest, but we have to go out and harvest. We got to be at the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And you get any of those three things wrong, and you definitely come up with a different answer to the equation. If we're at the right place, but we're doing the wrong thing, if we're at the wrong place, but we're doing the right thing, if we're doing the right thing, but it's the wrong time, it all has to come together to get the desired result that God wants for us. We know that everything we receive from God is by grace, His undeserved favor and blessing. Nothing we receive from God is because we deserve it. I feel like this kind of plays into what I want to talk about today, too. But the only thing we deserve from God is death and hell. If we're getting something better than that, we're being blessed. And my last thought on this topic is, and I kind of have a hard time getting my mind around this, but I think we tend to look at ourselves and say, hey, look what happened to me. Like I'm healed, so I'm blessed. But I think it's really the other way around. It's I'm blessed, so I'm healed. I'm provided for. I'm prospered. I'm protected. It's all because we're blessed, but we want to look at the results. It's just a different way of looking at it. All right. And I also, the final thing, the greatest blessing is our relationship with God. Just the opportunity to have a relationship with God. But anyway, that's all free. The rest you have to pay for. I always like to teach about what God is working with me in my life. And something that I wasn't going to talk about, but I think I want to say is, in there's just a lot of worship today, I felt like. And when I met Julie, we were going to a church in Chicago. And I was raised Lutheran, so it was very Catholic light, basically. But the church we went to in Chicago, there was about 40 minutes of worship, which is about what we've just done, worship and prayer, and before you got into the sermon, which I was like, wow, this is great. You could be 40 minutes late. You haven't missed a thing. I mean, that's just where my heart was on worship. And I think the more I've gotten to know God, to understand His love, I think your natural reaction to His love and His mercy and grace and blessing is just worship. And it's hard for me to imagine that all I wanted to just come and hear the teaching. You know, give me the nuggets. But I, you know, as far as thanking God for how things were in my life, or just thanking Him that He even created the world, or that He created man, or that He gave us the opportunity to have a relationship with Him, right over my head. So anyway, so much goes into the worship. These guys in the back that are doing the sound, it and all the prep that Doug has done going in, and it's just, it doesn't happen by accident, but what a blessing that it does happen. And so thank you, Doug. Thank you, guys in the back in the sound booth. Couldn't be here without you. With that said, one of the things I feel like God's been working on me with for probably my whole life, but I didn't know it, but recently I've recognized, is pride. And I feel like what He's shown me is pride. Not only is it fair, I mean, I think it's abundant in all of our lives, but I think it's something that I have let just go kind of unrecognized. It wasn't like I was seeing this and realizing, oh, hey, this is a big problem. And I think pride is the sin that leads to every other sin. So when we look at something that's happening, if we look at a specific sin in our society, we're going, oh, you know, this is bad, you know, all these different things, but they all are rooted in pride, and it's all us having a better idea than God does. We don't need to do things God's way. I got a better plan than that. And I see that in my life a lot. And I think in a church community setting, we, you know, if you're not committing adultery, if you haven't murdered anybody, if you don't lie consistently, if you work, we're willing to overlook pride, but that's what God hates. That's what God says, you know, specifically that, hey, I oppose the proud. You know, and I just feel like I'm just seeing this in my life and trying to change it as I go. It's kind of, you know, you want to be stamping it out wherever it is. But the pride's ugly stepsister is lack of appreciation. And I feel like that's been a fairly dominant problem in my life too. You know, and if we're looking at our church or our pastor or our spouse or our kids or our house or our car or our life or the government or whatever it is, I mean, there's all these things that are going on that are good. Or they're not perfect, but they're good. And I feel like the tendency is to look at, well, I don't have this or I don't have that or I don't, you know, Well. Not that I think any of you guys are dealing with that. I'm just saying that it's been a problem in my life. And I feel like there was something that God had told me, and I think there's, I'm not a specialist on words from God, but it looks to me like there's kind of two different types. One of them would be something that God says specifically to you, and one of them is something that would be more of a group application. And I feel like what God said to me recently was, there are lies you are believing that is why your life is where it is. And I feel like that's very likely the case in all of our lives. So I'm not pointing the finger, but I mean, it. Anyway, so that's... I got to believe that we're, I mean, I think that until we have perfect knowledge of anything, we're off track to some degree or another. It's some of us are way more off track than others. It was interesting, I heard this guy talking about the Apollo space flight, and I got this picture in my mind that the thing takes off and they shoot it and it goes directly to the moon. And it was interesting because the guy said that actually, it wasn't that way at all. It was that every 10 minutes, they would shoot out a little thrust this way, that way, and get it back on course, which I just assumed flying through space, you're, you know, no resistance, you're just slipping along. They said in 10 minutes' time, the thing could get 90 degrees off course, which seems impossible for me to believe, but I feel like that's how our lives are, and we're going along. We got to be making these course corrections as we go. It's, we're not getting it perfect, and I was on this boat one time with a guy. I used to sail sailboats. And this guy's sailing along downwind, and he's steering the boat like this. And his whole and I kind of looked at him. I was like, I'd never seen anybody do this. But his theory was, there's a sweet spot in there, and that when you hit that, you're at maximum speed. And so by swerving like this, he's going to hit it enough that he's getting the perfect angle part of the time, which is, I think, somewhat to some degree, our best hope is that we get that perfect angle at some time. All right. I wanted to kind of take you through some examples of pride and lack of thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. And today, my goal, it is my goal that I just get you to think about how you think and see if some adjustment needs to be made. I remember one time Keith Moore said that God told him to prove everything that he believed from the Bible. He wanted him to take every spiritual belief and find scripture that actually confirmed that. In other words, if there's something in your life that you believe that cannot be confirmed by God's word, then whoosh, out of here, over the side. So with pride, I feel like we look at pride, like some people think Trump, for instance, is very proud. You know, he's talking about himself. He's, you know, telling what a great guy he is, like that kind of thing. And I don't think, that's maybe a form of pride, but what the pride I'm talking about is the thinking that I always want to hear I'm right. When good things happen, it's because I'm a genius. Even if it's a coin toss or something, you flip the coin, psh, oh, look, it's heads, that's what I called. It's this desire to just be affirmed and affirmed. And when bad things happen, it's not my fault. That was out of my control. So even on the coin toss, I go back to it, oop, I called heads, boom, it's tails. Well, that was out of my control. So I'm a genius if I'm right, and it's not my fault if I'm wrong. Where humility always gives God the glory. When good things happen, we're willing to ask if it was luck, skill, God, or none of the above. And when bad things happen, we're willing to ask, what could I have done better? Humility, our desire should be for constructive dissent. We should value differing opinions. This is so prevalent. I just feel like if somebody opposes us in the way we think, the first thought is, should I be offended? I think maybe these guys are disagreeing. It's just, we ought to be welcoming other opinions. And if nothing else, even if you're discussing, hey, is the earth round or flat? If you believe it's round, but you can't defend your beliefs, you don't have much to offer. So, if you don't get anything else out of a dissenting view, then more arguments for your own, I think you're moving in the right direction. But pride is always looking for someone to affirm its beliefs. If you're spending any time trying to get others to tell you how great you are, kind of like you might be a redneck, if you're going there, and one of the ways I found myself doing this too, it's like I want to tell, oh, look, I took out the trash. Oh, look, I did this. Oh, look, no matter what it is, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be wonderful, but it's just, hey, just give me a little positive affirmation here. Probably not where we want to be going. Pride is the kryptonite to our faith. It takes us from, well, I guess I'm trying to figure out exactly how I want to verbalize this, but anyway, when we're in pride, we're not operating in faith. We're operating in, I can do this on my own, basically. We need to recognize it and eliminate it. There was something else I wanted to share here. I was listening to this. I listen to a lot of videos because I'm a futures trader, and one of the things I feel like that if you listen to things about police officers, military people, and all, there's like a mindset they want to get into. It's like a battle victory mindset, and I feel like that's something in Christianity that we have not. We're in a battle there's a way you want to be thinking when you're in the battle if you want to win. And if you're not thinking correctly going in, you're at a severe disadvantage. And so anyway, but it's interesting as you look, as you listen to these different types of instructional videos in the world, they've all come back to these same principles where if you have to be right all the time, you basically can't learn. Your learning has stopped there. Whereas if you're willing to be open to other people's ideas and evaluate them, figure out that, not that everybody else's ideas are right, typically they're not, but if you're willing to listen and learn, you're on the right track. Something interesting happened to me last night when I was writing this. I got almost all the way done, and I'd been working on it, but as I went through it last night, I'd added a bunch of stuff, and then I pulled the computer closer, and it unplugged. Well, strangely, but I printed it out. But when I turned it back on, believe it or not, none of it was saved. So I'm a little depending on God here, you might say. I want to read a scripture for you that I think ties this together in some way. I hope you'll be able to understand the connection I'm making here. This is from Joshua 5, and it's in verse 13. It says, just barely, "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho." Does everybody remember what happened at Jericho? Okay, so we're going to have a battle at Jericho. Okay, and these guys are giving some real thought to what's going on here. So it says, "It came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No.'" "But commander of the army of the Lord, I have come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped him." You can tell that this is Jesus because anybody else, if you fell down and worshiped them, would tell you, "Get up. I'm an angel," or "I'm a man," or "I'm not God." And he said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And he did so. And then Jesus goes on to say, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in, none came out. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See that I have given into your hand its king and the mighty men of valor.'" And then he goes on and tells him how they're going to win this battle. But I thought the interesting thing here was, one of the things that pride gets us to do is to try to talk God into getting onto our team. "Hey God, are you for us or our adversaries?" But I feel like what the commander of the Lord's army is telling Joshua is, this is how you're going to do this. You're going to be on my team. I'm going to be the commander. So anytime we're spending trying to get God on our team, I think we need to be looking at his invitation is for us to get onto his team. And with that, I want to read you a scripture. And it is in Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will obtain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, but there's fear in that too. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother. They will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let's lie in wait, let's shed some blood, let's lurk secretly for the innocent without a cause, and let's swallow them alive like Sheol and whole, like those who go down to the pit, we'll have all kinds of precious possessions. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. We'll have one common purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of the bird. They lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of the owners. Wisdom calls aloud and raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates of the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love your simplicities? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one regarded. But you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I will laugh at your calamity and I will mock you when terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and the destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. There's a verse in Isaiah that says the exact opposite of this. It promises that when we call out to God, he will answer. That's the group we want to be in. We do not want to be in with these fools. These fools, boy, a lot of discrimination in this word, but really disparaging talk on these fools. Because they hated knowledge, they didn't choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and be secure without fear of evil. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth, knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of the just and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, delight in the perversity of the wicked. Those ways are crooked, and who are devious in their paths? To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress, who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant, and forgets the covenant of her God. Her house leads to death, her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor will they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness, keep to the path of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profits are better than the profits of silver and gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you desire cannot compare to her. Wisdom and understanding. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. All her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Happy are all who retain her. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge are the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you'll walk safely in your way. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you'll not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor the trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due and in your power to and your hand to do. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow, I'll give it to you then when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor when he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause if he's done you no harm. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me, saying, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Boy, we do a lot of getting, but I think this spells it out for us pretty clearly here. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she'll promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil. Getting close to the verse I'm looking for. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, like the shining sun, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they don't know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. That was the verse I was looking for. Keep your heart with all diligence. The NIV says, above all else, guard your heart. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. The reason I wanted to read that was because I feel like what I was trying to get at on the verse with Joshua, that God is asking us to be on his team, this is what his team looks like. This is how it works when we do it his way. You know, if Joseph played high school football, and it's similar to the military where there's a lot of training that goes into, you know, in the military, they don't just hand you a gun and say, hey, push this button and a bullet comes out over here. If there's trouble, point it towards them and keep pulling until it happens, until it stops. There's all kinds of training that is involved, but one of the things they try to train you in is to respect authority and to listen and do what they tell you. So they want to break you down to the point that you're not trying to do things your way. Every effort is in doing things their way. And that's what God's trying to get us to do. To get in the battlefield mindset with God, we got to embrace what he's saying and do things his way. He's not going to join our team and let us coach him on what we want to do next. We got to get on his team and let him coach us as to what he wants us to do next. So, if you want to join God's team, stand up. Maybe you're already on God's team and you just haven't been as surrendered as you want to be. I feel like that's half my problem is that I wander along wanting to do things my way, and it's just pride. But it's also a lack of appreciation in that God's ways are so much better than our ways, we can't even imagine. And I think when we get our hearts tuned towards Him, doing things His way is going to be our natural desire. But we got the world and the enemy telling us differently, and we got to figure out whose voice we're listening to. Oh my gosh, I've got a piano player? Nobody told me it was going to be like this. Well, anyway, Lord God, we just thank You for Your invitation to be on Your team. Lord, we want to surrender to You. We want to do things Your way. We want to be at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. And Lord, we just praise You and thank You for the plans You have for us. We know they're better than we could ask or think. I pray that we will allow You to change our thinking to think the way You think, Lord, and our desires to accomplish what You desire. We just praise You and thank You in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in Your holy name. Amen.